Welcome to Conservative News Briefs with JD and Tammy Rucker, the show where we analyze stories that American patriots need to hear and frame them from a conservative perspective. Sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy.
So there's riots coming to Rochester, New York. It's now Thursday. Yesterday, a video released by the family of a black man who was killed in March in Rochester, New York by police. The video has been released and it's pretty damaging. I mean, this is one of those situations, you know, we saw shortly after the video of George Floyd's killing was released. The sentiment generally across the nation was one of outrage, of anger towards law enforcement. It did not seem like his death was necessary. Now, we've seen new videos, new evidence that are pointing to other circumstances, you know, surrounding George Floyd. But, and also the clear indication that it did not seem as if race was a motivating factor in his death, even though that was the narrative. You know, white cop with his knee in George Floyd's neck for over 8 minutes looked bad, looked like there could be race involved. Does not seem like that based upon what we've seen of video evidence that for 18, 20 minutes prior to the incident. But nevertheless, you know, Minneapolis burned and then other cities burned, looting, rioting, led to statues being torn down, led to essentially the revival of the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as the Antifa emboldenment that has happened in recent months as well. Now, fast forward a little bit, you had Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta. You have now Jacob Blake in Kenosha. And in both of those incidents, I don't think that the sentiment is quite the same. Okay, yes, there's rioting. Yes, there's burning. But the people, you know, don't, you know, let's look at Rayshard Brooks. Should he have been killed? Probably not. But he did fight and fire a weapon at law enforcement. Okay? That's not very endearing to a movement. Then you look at Jacob Blake. Okay? He had been tased. He'd been in video. We could see he had been beating on law enforcement. He was a suspected rapist who was called to the police, or who was called by his alleged victim. He was inside her house when she called police. He had what appears to be a knife, and police reports indicate that there was a knife on the floorboard where he was reaching in when he was shot. So once again, you know, the sentiment it's not like it was with George Floyd. Now fast forward to today, and Daniel Prude, a 41-year-old black man who was on PCP, okay, he was walking around a neighborhood at 3 a.m. naked, and police were called to try to take care of the situation. Now, unfortunately, there's a few things happening. This was back in March, even though the video was released yesterday by the family. This was back in March when it happened, and at the time, this was right around the beginning of the coronavirus panic, the scare. People weren't sure, you know, they thought, oh my gosh, you know, you can get your coronavirus anyway. You know, Dr. Fauci is still saying don't wear masks at that point. But, you know, nevertheless, we'd gone on lockdown March 16th. So we didn't know what we didn't know. And one of the things that police do have at their disposal, controversial item, is called a spit hood. Basically, if you have a suspect in custody, and they're spitting on police or attempting to spit at police, then you can put the spit hood on them. It's been, again, very controversial. Not a fan of it myself. It has been linked to past incidences, past deaths, you know. So, yeah, not good at all. But again, yeah, I'm not trying to say it's all bad. The police were just trying to protect themselves, and we do have potentially mentally ill, drugged man. Turns out he was on PCP, but mentally ill and drugged man, naked at 3 in the morning, spitting at police. They took the precaution of putting the spit hood on him. Again, not trying to justify, not justifying what they did. He was cuffed. He was naked. He clearly didn't have a weapon. And he was clearly having some kind of mental issue. As it turned out, he had both mental issues. His family says that he did have clear mental instability, clear problems mentally. And he was on drugs, PCP. It's a very mind-altering drug. It makes you think that you can do things that you can't. It makes you think that it's not a good combination. You know, that's why he was walking around a neighborhood naked at 3 a.m. It was his brother that actually called the police and said, you know, I can't control him. He's out of the house. Please come get him. So the part that gets bad, and if you watch the video, it is disturbing. You know, after they get the hood on him, he's already cuffed. His hands are behind his back. He's naked. He's on the ground, sitting up in the beginning, and there's a little bit of a scuffle, a little struggle, and he ends up face first down on the ground. And they're pushing him. It's bad. I mean, this is one of those situations. Again, we don't know the full context. There's not a clear video, but very similar to what happened with George Floyd. This is one of those incidences where general public support can go towards the family. Calls for reform, police reform can be made. But there's a very good chance that this is going to be subverted. This potentially, heartfelt sentiment towards this situation and calls for change could be replaced by Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioting, turmoil, anarchy, buildings being burned, people being injured, killed. That potential is there. So we have, as a society, learned our lesson to some extent. We know to expect this, and you gotta believe that both politicians as well as law enforcement are expecting it. They should be prepared for this. It's now been over a day. They should be expecting riots. As I'm recording this, the sun's going down in Portland. I'm sorry, in Rochester. And so, yeah, we will see. There's two factors to consider. Number one, are the police going to be prepared? Okay. If we've seen, what we've learned is that, we know for sure that the same rioters that are in Portland are also going to Kenosha. They're also going to the hot spots, so to speak, traveling Antifa provocateurs, rioters, professional anarchists, whatever you want to call them, very likely paid. Yeah, I mean, these aren't rich philanthropists. These are kids in most cases, young adults, many times without jobs, flying around the nation to go to riots. Who's sponsoring this? There's another video that I'll be posting later today that shows, saw it on Twitter. We'll get a post over at noqreport.com, knockreport.com, basically shows these encampments. And we're not talking about like a homeless encampments. These are very, very organized, very high dollar camps. Okay, very orderly, nice and orderly, lined up, definitely not from the government, not a homeless camp, not a whatever. This is an Antifa camp. There's financing and funding happening, and they're heading to, if they're probably already in Rochester, ready to try to burn it down, ready to try to make it like Kenosha, like Portland, Minneapolis, cities across the nation. The question is, number one, will police be ready? Number two, and this is the most important one, will law enforcement be allowed by politicians to act appropriately? And by appropriately, what I mean is this, is that to keep the peace, you must proactively and aggressively stop the crime, stop the domestic terrorism that's going to happen. People cannot be allowed to just burn down buildings randomly or maybe intentionally. I shouldn't say randomly. They shouldn't be able to distract police over here and go over here and burn down buildings, multiple buildings. They shouldn't be able to riot, to destroy, and not just burning them down, to break windows, burn cars. homes. That shouldn't be, they shouldn't be able to do that. And if law enforcement is prepared, but more importantly, if politicians locally allow it, allow them to do their jobs. Okay, they have to, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, you know, we support the Black Lives Matter cause, so we're going to, you know, let them do their thing, you know, as long as it doesn't get too bad, as long as they don't go to a politician's house, because then we'll respond. Okay, that's, then they're all of a sudden all like, no, these are bad people, terrorists, whatever. Will police be ready? Will the city's politicians allow them to stop it? Because this is an incident. It hasn't gone viral quite yet. It is starting to spread though now. And when it does, it's going to be very similar to George Floyd, because the sentiment is in this family's favor. Okay. He shouldn't be dead. There was no reason for him to be. He was, you know, unruly, sure. Potentially dangerous. He was spitting, but he was handcuffed. He definitely didn't have a weapon. He was naked. There were 7 cops there, all suspended now, by the way. 7 cops. 1 man, handcuffed and naked, on the ground. Why did he have to have his face pushed into the ground? Listen, there's a huge difference. I back the blue, but I also know that there's bad cops. And bad cops aren't necessarily racist cops. It could just be bad cops as in poor training, poor decision making. But the notion, and this is an important one, this is the truth. Nobody is a harsher critic of bad cops than good cops. There is no systemic racism in law enforcement. There was in the past. There very likely was. And I shouldn't say likely. There certainly was. There was systemic racism. Yeah. During the Civil Rights Movement, before the Civil Rights Movement, shortly after the Civil Rights Movement, we've had generations since then. Things have gotten to the point where race really isn't as important of a factor. Now, it's funny because William Barr went on Wolf Blitzer yesterday. CNN went to enemy media territory, and Wolf Blitzer was trying to say, you know, there's a lot more black men incarcerated, and, you know, is that not racism? And Barr had basically quoted Jesse Jackson, who had at one point, apparently, I'd never heard it, but apparently said something to the effect of, if I'm walking on the street and I see a group of young black men behind me, I'm going to be more concerned than if I saw a group of young white men behind me. This is Jesse Jackson, the civil rights leader, saying this, William Barr quoting it to Wolf Blitzer. I don't see the entire interaction, but I'm sure it was pretty lit. We know that there has been systemic racism in the past. We know that there are individual racists. We know that there are some bad cops, but the vast majority, 98%, 99%, maybe 95%, but still some high number of police officers in America, number one, are not racist. Number two, are well-trained to do their jobs. And number three, will react. Racism isn't just about being, oh, I hate these people, I hate those people. Sometimes racism can manifest in presuppositions. But I would suggest that if George Floyd had been white, that the same thing would have happened to him. In this situation, I don't know. And that's why I think that the Daniel Prude situation, if they don't get a handle on it initially, tonight and tomorrow night, not just in Rochester, in other areas, this one could explode. This could be as bad, if not worse, than the George Floyd riots. Okay, Kenosha, thankfully, Kenosha didn't spread nearly as wide. Thankfully, Rayshard Brooks spread a little bit, but then was quickly calmed down. George Floyd's riots lasted weeks, spread everywhere. And unfortunately, the killing of this man, Daniel Prude, could turn out to be very similar, could be very much the same. we will see. Hopefully everybody's prepared, and hopefully this will be an example that law enforcement and politicians, particularly Democrats, have learned their lesson and will try to nip this in the bud before it gets out of hand. Lord willing, I will be back for another episode. But in the meantime, you guys, stay strong, stay safe.